Chapter 3. Whosoever has observed that sedate and clerical bird, the rook, may perhaps have noticed that, when he wings his way homeward towards nightfall, in a sedate and clerical company, two rooks will suddenly detach themselves from the rest, will retrace their flight for some distance, and will there poise and linger, conveying to mere men the fancy that it is of some occult importance to the body politic that this artful couple should pretend to have renounced connection with it. Similarly, service being over in the old cathedral with the square tower, and the choir scuffling out again, and divers venerable persons of rook-like aspect dispersing, two of these latter retrace their steps, and walk together in the echoing close. Not only is the day waning, but the year. The low sun is fiery, and yet cold behind the monastery ruin, and the Virginia creeper on the cathedral wall has showered half its deep red leaves down on the pavement. There has been rain this afternoon, and a wintry shudder goes among the little pools on the cracked uneven flagstones, and through the giant elm trees as they shed a gust of tears. Their fallen leaves lie strewn thickly about. Some of these leaves, in a timid rush, seek sanctuary within the low-arched cathedral door, but two men coming out resist them, and cast them forth again with their feet. This done, one of the two locks the door with a goodly key, and the other flits away with a folio music book. Apostrophe Mr. Jasper was that, Tope? Apostrophe, yes, Mr. Dean. Apostrophe, he has stayed late. Apostrophe, yes, Mr. Dean. I have stayed for him, your reverence. He has been took a little poorly. Apostrophe, say, taken, Tope to the dean. Apostrophe, the younger rook interposes in a low tone with this touch of correction, as who should say, you may offer bad grammar to the laity, or the humbler clergy, not to the dean. Apostrophe, Mr. Tope, chief verger and showman, and accustomed to be high with excursion parties, declines with a silent loftiness, to perceive that any suggestion has been tendered to him. And when and how has Mr. Jasper been taken for, as Mr. Crisparkle has remarked, it is better to say taken, apostrophe, repeats the dean. When and how has Mr. Jasper been taken, apostrophe, taken, sir, apostrophe, Tope deferentially murmurs. Apostrophe, poorly, Tope. Apostrophe, why, sir, Mr. Jasper was that breathed, apostrophe, I wouldn't say that breathed, Tope, apostrophe, Mr. Crisparkle interposes with the same touch as before. Not English to the dean. Apostrophe, breathe to that extent, apostrophe, the dean, not unflattered by this indirect homage, condescendingly remarks, would be preferable. Apostrophe, Mr. Jasper's breathing was so remarkably short. Thus discreetly does Mr. Tope work his way round the sunken rock when he came in, that it distressed him mightily to get his notes out, which was perhaps the cause of his having a kind of fit on him after a little. His memory grew dazed. Apostrophe Mr. Tope, with his eyes on the Reverend Mr. Crisparkle, shoots this word out, as defying him to improve upon it. And a dimness and giddiness crept over him as strange as ever I saw. Though he didn't seem to mind it particularly, himself. However, a little time and a little water brought him out of his daze. Apostrophe Mr. Tope repeats the word and its emphasis, with the air of saying, as I have made a success, I'll make it again. Apostrophe, and Mr. Jasper has gone home quite himself, has he? Apostrophe, asked the dean. Your reverence, he has gone home quite himself. And I'm glad to see he's having his fire kindled up, for it's chilly after the wet, and the cathedral had both a damp feel and a damp touch this afternoon, and he was very shivery. Apostrophe, they all three looked towards an old stone gatehouse crossing the close, with an arched thoroughfare passing beneath it. Through its latticed window, a fire shines out upon the fast darkening scene, involving in shadow the pendant masses of ivy and creeper covering the building's front. As the deep cathedral bell strikes the hour, a ripple of wind goes through these at their distance, like a ripple of the solemn sound, that comes through to man tower, broken niche and defaced statue, in the pile close at hand. Is Mr. Jasper's nephew with him? The dean asks. No, sir, replied the verger, but expected. There's his own solitary shadow betwixt his two windows, the one looking this way, and the one looking down into the high street, drawing his own curtains now. Says the dean, with a sprightly air of breaking up the little conference. I hope Mr. Jasper's heart may not be too much set upon his nephew. Our affections, however laudable, in this transitory world, should never master us. We should guide them. I find I am not disagreeably reminded of my dinner by hearing my dinner bell. Perhaps, Mr. Crisparkle, you will, before going home, look in on Jasper? Certainly, Mr. Dean. And tell him that you had the kindness to desire to know how he was? Do so. Certainly. Wish to know how he was. By all means. Wish to know how he was. With a pleasant air of patronage, the dean as nearly cocks his quaint hat as a dean in good spirits may, and directs his comely gaiters towards the ruddy dining room of the snug old red brick house, where he is at present, in residence with Mrs. Dean and Miss Dean. Mr. Crisparkle, minor canon, fair and rosy, and perpetually pitching himself head foremost into all the deep running water in the surrounding country. Mr. Crisparkle, minor canon, early riser, musical, classical, cheerful, kind, good-natured, social, contented, and boy-like. Mr. Crisparkle, minor canon and good man, lately coach upon the chief pagan high roads, but since promoted by a patron, grateful for a well-taught son, to his present Christian beat, betakes himself to the gatehouse, on his way home to his early tea. Sorry to hear from Tope that you have not been well, Jasper. It was nothing. You look a little worn. Do I? Oh, I don't think so. What is better, I don't feel so. Tope has made too much of it, I suspect. It's his trade to make the most of everything appertaining to the cathedral, you know. I may tell the dean I call expressly from the dean that you are all right again? The reply, with a slight smile, is certainly, with my respects and thanks to the dean. I'm glad to hear that you expect young Drood. I expect the dear fellow every moment. He will do you more good than a doctor, Jasper. More good than a dozen doctors. For I love him dearly, and I don't love doctors, or doctor's stuff. Mr. Jasper is a dark man of some 26, with thick, lustrous, well-arranged black hair and whiskers. He looks older than he is, as dark men often do. His voice is deep and good, his face and figure are good, his manner is a little somber. His room is a little somber, and may have had its influence in forming his manner. It is mostly in shadow. Even when the sun shines brilliantly, it seldom touches the grand piano in the recess, or the folio music books on the stand, or the bookshelves on the wall, or the unfinished picture of a blooming schoolgirl hanging over the chimney piece. Her flowing brown hair tied with a blue riband, and her beauty remarkable for a quite childish, almost babyish, touch of saucy discontent, comically conscious of itself.
There is not the least artistic merit in this picture, which is a mere daub, but it is clear that the painter has made it humorously, one might almost say, revengefully like the original.
We shall miss you, Jasper, at the alternate musical Wednesdays tonight. But no doubt you are best at home. Good night. God bless you. Tell me, shepherds,
have you seen,
my why flow o'er a pass this way? Melodiously good minor canon the Reverend Septimus Crisparkle thus delivers himself, in musical rhythm, as he withdraws his amiable face from the doorway, and conveys it downstairs. Sounds of recognition and greeting pass between the Reverend Septimus and somebody else at the stair foot. Mr. Jasper listens, starts from his chair, and catches a young fellow in his arms, exclaiming, "My dear Edwin! ! My dear Jack! So glad to see you! ! Get off your greatcoat, bright boy, and sit down here in your own corner. Your feet are not wet? Pull your boots off. Do pull your boots off. My dear Jack, I am as dry as a bone. Don't moddly coddly, there's a good fellow. I like anything better than being moddly coddled." With the check upon him of being unsympathetically restrained in a genial outburst of enthusiasm, Mr. Jasper stands still, and looks on intently at the young fellow, divesting himself of his outward coat, hat, gloves, and so forth. Once for all, a look of intentness and intensity, a look of hungry, exacting, watchful, and yet devoted affection is always, now, and ever afterwards, on the Jasper face, whenever the Jasper face is addressed in this direction. And whenever it is so addressed, it is never, on this occasion, or on any other, dividedly addressed. It is always concentrated. "Now I am right, and now I'll take my corner, Jack. Any dinner, Jack?" Mr. Jasper opens a door at the upper end of the room, and discloses a small inner room pleasantly lighted and prepared, wherein a comely dame is in the act of setting dishes on table. "What a jolly old Jack it is!" cries the young fellow, with a clap of his hands. "Look here, Jack, tell me, whose birthday is it?" "Not yours, I know," Mr. Jasper answers, pausing to consider. "Not mine, you know?" "No, not mine, I know. Pussies." Fixed as the look the young fellow meets is, there is yet in it some strange power of suddenly including the sketch over the chimney piece. "Pussies, Jack. We must drink many happy returns to her. Come, uncle. Take your dutiful and sharp-set nephew in to dinner." As the boy, for he is little more, lays a hand on Jasper's shoulder, Jasper cordially and gaily lays a hand on his shoulder, and so Marcellus-wise they go in to dinner. "And, Lord, here's Mrs. Tope," cries the boy. "Lovelier than ever. Never you mind me, Master Edwin," retorts the verger's wife. "I can take care of myself." "You can't. You're much too handsome. Give me a kiss, because it's Pussy's birthday." "I'd pussy you, young man, if I was Pussy, as you call her," Mrs. Tope blushingly retorts, after being saluted. "Your uncle's too much wrapped up in you, that's where it is. He makes so much of you, that it's my opinion you think you've only to call your pussies by the dozen, to make 'em come." "You forget, Mrs. Tope," Mr. Jasper interposes, taking his place at the table with a genial smile, "and so do you, Ned, that uncle and nephew are words prohibited here by common consent and express agreement. For what we are going to receive his holy name be praised." Done like the dean. Witness, Edwin Drood. Please to carve, Jack, for I can't. This sally ushers in the dinner. Little to the present purpose, or to any purpose, is said, while it is in course of being disposed of. At length the cloth is drawn, and a dish of walnuts and a decanter of rich-colored sherry are placed upon the table. "I say, tell me, Jack," the young fellow then flows on. "Do you really and truly feel as if the mention of our relationship divided us at all?" "I don't." "Uncles as a rule, Ned, are so much older than their nephews," is the reply, "that I have that feeling instinctively." "As a rule. Ah, maybe. But what is a difference in age of half a dozen years or so? And some uncles, in large families, are even younger than their nephews. By George, I wish it was the case with us." Why? apostrophe apostrophe, because if it was, I'd take the lead with you, Jack, and be as wise as Begin, don't care. That turned a young man gray, and Begin, don't care. That turned an old man to clay. Halloa, Jack. Don't drink. Apostrophe, why not? Apostrophe apostrophe, asks why not, on Pussy's birthday, and no happy returns proposed. Pussy, Jack, and many of them. Happy returns, I mean. Apostrophe, laying an affectionate and laughing touch on the boy's extended hand, as if it were at once his giddy head and his light heart, Mr. Jasper drinks the toast in silence. Hip, 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 and 9 times 9, and 1 to finish with, and all that, understood. Hooray, hooray, hooray. And now, Jack, let's have a little talk about Pussy. 2 pairs of nutcrackers? Pass me one, and take the other. Apostrophe crack. How's Pussy getting on, Jack? Apostrophe apostrophe, with her music? Fairly. Apostrophe, what a dreadfully conscientious fellow you are, Jack. But I know, Lord bless you. Inattentive, isn't she? Apostrophe. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.